Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. This is our 2021 summer movie preview episode. We take you through each and every month, May through August, and discuss every major theatrical release coming your way. That's right, theaters are open! And yes, some of them will end up on streaming as well in a shorter amount of time, but these are freaking going to the theaters, as well as some indies and some streaming originals to keep your eye out for. Get ready to make plans because it is now time for our 2021 summer movie preview. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing tonight?
I'm excited that I get to talk about things going to a movie theater and people might actually see them.
That's incredible, isn't it?
I feel like we've come a long way. Amanda Sink?
Hello, hello, sirs. Males, misters, I don't know what you want to be called.
I like to be called Aaron or Steve.
I'll call you Ave.
That's ridiculous.
I go for Major General Galactic Enterprise Master.
Wait. All I heard was Master.
Peter? Where's your mind?
Where's yours, John?
Usually in the gutter, but I'm usually okay with that.
What is this title you want? What is it? Admiral what? Akbar?
Yeah, you know, I mean, that it changes on week to week, moment to moment.
Okay. It was something Galactic Master.
Major General Galactic Master of the Universe.
He added more to it.
I did.
I feel like we've lost more people than we've gained at this point. The entire summer schedule is available on this post for this particular episode at thehollywoodoutsider.com. So you can look at thehollywoodoutsider.com in case you want to go back and be like, what the hell is that movie? You can go back, find that list, and you'll see all of them listed. Dates are always subject to change. I feel like that's forever. Until I hear we're definitely not going to do that every time, I'm going to keep the dates are subject to change on the table. You guys feel confident now? Do you feel like we're being... I don't know.
Punked?
Yeah, punk. There you go. Do you feel like we're being punked? Like we're going to get all excited and then all of a sudden, oh, guess what? Entire summer slate, 2022.
Like it was just a giant typo from every single film company.
Like Ashton Kutcher's just like, I'm bringing this show back. Huge.
I do have a little bit of feeling in me, which I look at it and I go, yeah, I'll believe it when I actually can go to the theater to go see that.
Yeah. Yeah, that lines up.
That checks out. Yep.
It's like Santa Claus, but different.
Oh, Santa's real. Okay, movie releases are not.
That's why I said it's different.
Till you actually step in a theater and it's playing. It's crazy. This podcast is 10 years old this year. We've done a summer movie preview episode every single summer. It's actually one of the more popular episodes. Go figure. Last year, wasn't a big need for it, so we didn't do it. Because, yeah. I don't know if you guys heard thing was going on.
What was that?
I don't say the word. I feel like if you say the word out loud, it jinxes everything. But everybody knows.
It's like Candyman, but different.
I was going to say, if you say it in the mirror three times, does it come back all over again?
Yes. Yes. I think it does. It really does.
It's like Candyman, Bloody Mary, COVID. You tell me which one's worse.
All right. And there it is. We're moving on. So we're going from May 21st through Labor Day. I hope you guys are ready. I think the streaming one I want to mention at some point actually comes out May 14th. But all the theatrical titles, May 21st through Labor Day. That's our summer this year because we didn't have that normal. Well, it's normal now. The new normal where it's May through Labor Day. Marvel's like, yeah, we'll wait because stuff's not open yet. But now stuff's opening up. So I'm feeling confident. I'm feeling confident. So we're going to go week by week. You guys ready? And we will talk about them as we go. And the first one. I asked you if you were ready. I didn't care. You better be ready. So the first one that we're talking about actually was just streaming, but they booked 600 theaters for this puppy. So it's actually a theatrical event of sorts. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead comes out May 21st. Dave Bautista leads a group of mercenaries on a dangerous mission to rob a Las Vegas casino during a zombie outbreak. It stars Dave Bautista and many other people, and is directed by Zack Snyder. And this is going to be on Netflix, yes, but it's also going to theater. So that's really the only big one of that date. Is this one everybody's excited about, or are we not allowed to like Zack Snyder anymore? I really don't know where we're at with the Snyderverse of the world.
Well, I'm very much on the side of Zack Snyder can do wrong, but I'm still going to watch it and I'm still going to enjoy it. And I still think that he produces good, fun stuff to watch, especially for the summer. So I'm down for this.
I'm really pumped for it. I think it looks awesome. And Aaron, I think you're the one who said it in our group when everyone, all the Snyder haters are like, he can't do anything but dark and gloomy. And here he is with like every color of the spectrum in neon and having fun with it.
So what did I say? You said,
well, I think you were the one who were like, haha, take that, haters. Everybody who said that.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't, and I'm just giving the credit to the wrong person.
No, no, that seems like positive, so I'll take it. I'll soak that in. That's mine. I own it. You're right. No, it's true, because they constantly, it's dark and dreary. You can't do anything. Like, man, this is bright, sunny. It's Vegas, and they're really...
And people still die.
Yeah, and then people clearly still die. Highly intelligent zombies, whatever they are, because they, even at one point in the trailer, if you watch it, say, they're not what you think they are. And I'm like, oh, because they're kind of evolved zombies of some sort.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. I like the idea of him going back to the zombie world, but, you know, changing it again like he did the first time.
Yeah, and if you didn't know, he directed Dawn of the Dead, which was fantastic. That's one of the best zombie movies, probably the last.
Heck yeah.
All time. Probably all time. All right, well, going on to May 28th, Cruella is releasing, and that one will also be Disney Plus Premium. So just be mindful of that. Disney reimagines the 101 Dalmatians villain with the help of Emma Stone, who plays the titular aspiring fashion designer whose life takes a criminal turn. And then she gets obsessed with Dalmatians at some point. Also stars Emma Thompson, Paul Walter Hauser, and it was directed by Craig Gillespie. And then A Quiet Place Part 2. The sequel to the 2018 horror hit follows up with the Abbott family as they seek shelter from the film's sound-sensitive monsters and encounter fellow survivors like Cillian Murphy. And it was directed by John Krasinski again. I'm sure he'll pop in because they kind of show you the beginning to how this all started, but then they flash forward to after the events of the first film. Which, if you didn't know, he died. Just letting you know.
Well, what a spoiler. First of all,
2 years old. 3 years old.
I have to admit, so... When A Quiet Place, the first one, came out in 2018, that was like my most anticipated of the year. I was so excited. I loved it. I did love it. But I felt like that was all I needed. So I'm really not, like, I'll see it, but I'm like stomping my feet going to the theater to see it. Whereas I'm also pissed at Disney Plus.
I want to see that while you're actually like walking in the theater going, no, no, give me the popcorn. No.
I have a fun fact about Cruella. The filming was actually delayed because Emma Stone dislocated her shoulder at a Spice Girls concert in London when she fell off of her friend's shoulders in 2019.
Get out of here.
And yeah, I just like, I feel that. Like, she is my spirit animal.
Have you ever seen Graham Norton where she's on there and he, because she is a huge Spice Girls fan. I learned that from Graham Norton. And he's like, have you ever met them? And she's like, no. And then he basically built up that they were there, but they weren't. It's amazing.
That's so mean.
So amazing. Find the clip on YouTube or Facebook or whatever, but it is amazing.
Oh my gosh.
And she's she freaks out like fans do. It's just like, are they here? What? Are you joking? What? What? What is happening? You know, and it's just like this continually amping up. And then he's just like, no, they're not here.
Wow. No wonder she dislocated her shoulder. She was probably trying to get up to the front to meet them. And somebody just popped her off their shoulder real quick. Girl, get off me.
Who gets injured?
I'm going to blame the mosh pit, really, at the Spice Girls concert.
At the Spice Girls concert? Yeah, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
Ow! Ow! Ow!
I love it.
Of these two, I'm actually more interested in A Quiet Place 2 because I really love the first one. I do agree that I was okay with the ending of the first ones and not having to continue it. But at the same time, I'm very happy to see what happens to the rest of the family as this goes on. Cruella is one of those things where I'm a little annoyed by it because I'm like, well, this is just like them saying, let's do Harley Quinn, but with Cruella. And I don't know. I can't stop connecting those two dots, even though it's unfair to one of the movies. I can't figure out which one it's unfair to.
Probably both of them.
Probably both of them.
Because they're not the same character at all.
I mean, I feel like Emma Stone is going to make that character pop. I have no doubt about that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just like Glenn Close did it so good in two movies already. Does Disney not have any other recognizable villains they could, besides Maleficent, that they could make another movie about? Like, they go back to this
well? She was a producer on it, so she must be okay with it.
I'm sure she wants it bad. I'm just saying, like, but I'm talking about Disney, the company. Like, that's where you went when I would think that they have an arsenal of great villains. I mean, where's the Ursula story? That's the story I want to see. Like, what? You can...
Ooh, she mean.
Do it.
She mean
that. Crossover but with Aquaman or something.
Dalmatians, like, now is a really good time to do dog movies because I'm fully confident in this anecdotal data that people of the younger generations, like middle-aged and younger generations, are doing away with, like, actual children and just replacing them with dogs. So people are going to be invested in seeing a movie with 101 of these
world.
Dogs.
It's a much better world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a happier, more cuddly world. Still shitty, but...
I don't know if it's cheaper there, Jen. I'm gonna... I don't know. I know.
Not when you got to get that grain-free, healthy dog food and then give them some extra real people food that's healthy for them. Get them some flax seeds and stuff. Like, dogs are spoiled.
And dogs can be expensive if they get hurt. And you can always tell the quality of your friends when their dog is injured and you see them weighing the price of that over putting them down. And it's like, whoa, you hovered on that for far too long. You're like, Barky, you'll die if I don't spend $2,000. I mean, it is $2,000.
I could buy 2 PlayStation 5s with that money.
Well, not in today's market.
Well, you could. It'd be about $1,000 a piece.
Wow. All right, moving on before we get too deep in putting dogs down. So June 4th, The Conjuring, The Devil Made Me Do It. This is the third movie in The Conjuring official franchise, the 47th in the universe, which is nuts. I feel like they just make a spinoff of everybody that shows up in these things. But the third chapter in the original Conjuring franchise finds paranormal investigators Ed and Lorraine Warren, Patrick Wilson, and Vera Farmiga looking into a criminal who claims he was possessed by the devil. Shades of Amityville, correct?
Yep.
And also Vivo, Lin-Manuel Miranda lends his voice to and provides the songs for the Sony animation film about a musical kinkajou in Cuba, which helps deliver a message to his human partner's old flame.
Yeah, of these two movies, again, I'm going to go with the darker of the two, and it's the Conjuring. I saw the trailer for this, and it looks really great. I need to get past my distaste for the Warrens because, you know, you got Ed who took advantage of the fact that his wife is probably a little bit mentally unstable and created a whole bunch of stories around it and probably bilked a bunch of people out of money. But you know what? At least this is interesting stuff to see on screen. And if they do it right, it could be awesome. As long as it's got Ed and Lorraine in the story, I think it's going to be a good time.
And by the way, you're speaking of the actual people, not the movie people.
Right. I'm talking about the actual people.
Yeah. See, I don't care what they did. The movies are fun. Oh,
I didn't know that because I didn't care.
Exactly. Movies are fun. Scared. Don't care what they did in real life.
Those do a good job of creeping me out a little bit.
All your heroes are evil. Just ask Joss Whedon fans.
Don't remind us.
way to twist that knife.
I'm still traumatized. Thank you very much. Okay, so The Conjuring, I'm going to see it. I like The Conjuring movies. They're good. They, like I said, they're a little creepy sometimes. Vivo, I would say I'm more interested in seeing that just because of Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's probably the only reason that I'll watch that. But it does sound sweet when you read the description.
It does. So sweet. Sure. It does.
Yeah.
But I don't want sweet that weekend. I want to get terrified. And those movies work really well. Like, The official verse universe ones work great. I haven't been scared in any of the spinoffs. The Nun, Annabelle 47 and whatever.
Right,
right. All these craps, the la 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 whatever. Just
all these craps.
No, none of them. Not a single one. So now June 11th, actually, Amanda and I got to go to a screening of one of them. So we'll
heck
talk about
yeah, we did.
Hold on. We'll talk about that one in a second. Okay. So the first one up is In the Heights, which, you know, speaking of Lin-Manuel Miranda, is hit Broadway musical about the people who live in the New York City neighborhood of Washington Heights, who also get that big screen treatment, thanks to Crazy Rich Asians director John M. Chu. There's Anthony Ramos and Jimmy Smits, and Lin-Manuel Miranda is also in the film. Now, Amanda, you saw it? I saw it? What did you think of the film? Now, we'll do a proper review, like a full-on review, closer to the movie's release date, but it doesn't do any good to get you excited for a movie that isn't coming out for a month. So
yeah.
What did you think overall?
Bless you, AMC, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and John Chu, to give us that opportunity to early screen. That movie was so fantastic. I love it. I can't wait to see it again. My husband and I are going to take his abuela to see it, and so I'm really excited about that. And fun fact, Olga Meredes, I don't know if that's how you say her name right, but she reprises her Tony-nominated role from the musical as abuela Claudia. Aww. So she's the same one who was in the musical. So I thought that was really special.
She's
great. She was fantastic. A lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine references, like people, like actors.
Yeah, I think they're just Hispanic actors that were in the movie. I don't really think it has anything to do with Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
There's a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine connections. I was reading some trivia on it. Like, there's a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine connections.
Easy killer. Boom.
Even Nina's dad was Santiago's dad in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. So it's not even just Stephanie Beatriz who is in it.
Okay. Again, I think it's just Hispanic actors. I don't really think it's... I don't think there's, like, John M. Chu's
there's
like,
a lot of connections, man.
Hang on. John M. Chu's is like, man, I got to cast this movie. Holy crap. What if I just jumped to Brooklyn Nine-Nine and just started pulling people off? What if I did that? I think that could... That's not what happened. Anyway, I've said this on the show before. My wife's Hispanic. She was humming the whole time. She was so excited that her familia was represented on screen, because a lot of times she doesn't get that. And I thought that was really fun to watch through her eyes. I invited her to come on and talk about it, and she said no. So.
Oh, I was really hoping she would.
No, she
to
doesn't
speak to
she
it.
She doesn't love to be the center of any kind of attention, but it was really fascinating to see that through someone's eyes, because, you know, in her world, and I'm sure John, you can relate too, because your family's part of your family's Hispanic, is she was excited that the culture was represented without a single essay or, you know, anything derogatory. It was an extremely uplifting, positive celebration of Hispanic culture. And that's why I think it's so great in that respect.
I'm excited to check it out. With the rest of the normals.
The rest of the normals.
I looked up the fun fact. Playwright Lin-Manuel Miranda, the original Usnave, played David Santiago in the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Jimmy Smits played David and Amy's father, Victor Santiago. Olga
Amanda,
was
we don't
also
care.
In Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Oh my God,
and she
we
played
don't care.
Rosa Diaz's mother, Julia.
We
and
don't
Stephanie
care.
Beatriz, who plays Carla in this film, is Rosa Diaz in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. That's four different actors. That's a lot of people. It's significant.
It's a Hispanic cast film.
I'm aware, but there's a lot of talented Hispanic actors, and they pulled a lot of people that were in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just think it's fascinating.
You're right.
Can you stop being a Brooklyn Nine-Nine hater?
They pulled Lin-Manuel Miranda. They pulled Lin-Manuel Miranda from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, I'm just saying there was connections. There's connections.
He's this brilliant lyricist and playwright and everything else, but because, hey, you know what?
Thank God
he was on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or I wouldn't have been able to put
That's
him actually
not what
in
I'm
the movie.
Saying. I'm just saying there's a lot of connections to Brooklyn Nine-Nine, and I find it fascinating.
I feel like you should watch more TV than just that show. All right,
Stop
moving on.
Aaron.
We've got the weekend of, it's June 16th through June 18th. First, on June 16th, the hitman's wife's bodyguard.
So they just, a lot of apostrophes.
They just keep adding on. It's the follow-up to the 2017 action comedy. It stars Ryan Reynolds as bodyguard Michael Bryce, who is enlisted by Sonya Kincaid, who's Salma Hayek.
Oh my gosh, breathe.
breathe. To rescue her husband and Michael's rival, as well as my rival, Darius, who's played by Samuel L. Jackson. All right. And coming out June 18th, Luca, Pixar's latest offering, is a coming-of-age tale about a boy who lives on the Italian Riviera and strikes up a friendship with another boy, only to discover they are both secretly sea monsters disguised as humans. And we've also got Peter Rabbit 2, The Runaway. Beatrix Potter's mischief-prone rabbit embarks on a second adventure as Peter wanders away from home and makes new friends as his family comes looking for him. And lastly, on June 18th, The Sparks Brothers. Edgar Wright, who did Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Baby Driver, helms this decade-spanning documentary about a brothers, Russell and Ron Mayall, otherwise known as the influential rock duo Sparks. So of all those...
Yeah, this is a pretty heavy-hitting week weekend here. And of these, I'm most excited about the Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. And because the first one was something I just kind of watched and was, and I didn't really expect much out of it, but I remember being just so happy and just laughing the entire time. And I can't wait for this trio to do that to us again. Luca looks like a lot of fun, very cute. And Peter Rabbit 2, which the first one was all right. I sat down and watched, and it was worth my time. This one looks like it would be equally cute and fun if there were some littles running around to be able to appreciate it. And yeah, How about you, Amanda?
I have not seen that one yet. I know Rose Byrne's in it, who I adore, but I just never get around to seeing it because it looks like a kid's film. But you're saying not so much. I mean, it's enjoyable as any age film.
Yeah, any age can really appreciate it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to pass on that one. I do like James Corden as like a host. I don't like his acting personality because it doesn't feel like there's any acting to it. It just feels like, I don't know. There's just too much real life transfer.
Did you see that shade?
It's an animated rabbit, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to see Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. I really don't like the way that they phrased this title, though, because it messes me up. Luca does look cute, and it has Jacob Tremblay and Maya Rudolph, so, like, it's going to be great. And Jim Gaffigan, and he's fantastic. And the Sparks brother was one of those that was at Sundance or South By, Aaron? One of those two.
Probably both.
Probably
it was
both.
Definitely at South By. I know it was at South By.
Yeah, and there was a lot of good talk around that one, so I for sure want to check that out.
I do not, because...
Oh, you don't?
No.
You're not a documentary person.
I like some documentaries, but it has to be a subject that really gets my juices flowing, and the influential rock duo, the Sparks, is not one that gets it going. So
I don't even think I ever heard about
it. Fair enough.
Dries me out. So I would go back to The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, mostly because you just made Selma Hayek part of the title, and I love Selma Hayek. So I don't really care about anything outside of that. I will see it.
It takes is being able to look at her.
I adore her. It's a lot. It's personality. It's a lot of things, not just what she looks like. But
her voice, it's got to be everything, right?
Yeah. I literally just said everything.
Love
her toes, all 10 of them. If she lost one, I'd love all 9 of them. I just love her toes. But oh, I was looking at the new Marvel trailer that came out that said, look at all we've done and look what's coming. And Eternals
really
didn't give a rat's ass about that movie. I saw Salma Hayek and I'm like, I want to see that now. So it's like magic. Works every time. Or like Sex Panther, 60% of the time, works every time. All right.
Oh my gosh.
Moving on to June 25th. Yeah. F9, Fast 9, Furious 9. I don't give a shit what you call it. The 9th movie in this storied franchise stars Dom Toretto, that's Vin Diesel, and his family as they are back for another action-packed blockbuster. As Dom faces off against his brother, John Cena, he tried to leave in the past. He tried to leave him in the past so much, we never heard about him at all. And in 8 previous
Not
movies.
And we don't care.
Oh, that's funny. Justin Lin, the director who really kind of jacked up the Fast franchise with Fast 5, returns. He also did Fast 4 and Fast 6, but he returns. He left the franchise for 7 and 8. Now he's back for 9, 10, and I believe it'll be 11 because 10 is going to be a two-parter, which really just means 2 more movies. Anyway, June 30th, Zola is coming out. It's based on a notoriously stranger-than-fiction series of viral tweets. Zola follows a Detroit waitress who road trips to Florida with a stripper acquaintance and ends up spending the craziest 2 days of her life with her, starring Taylor Page, Riley Coe, Coleman Domingo, and Nicholas Braun, and that's June 30th. So that's what we've got for those two. I'm curious. I'm spitballing. I'm guessing. Fast 9 for you guys?
Hell yeah.
Well, yeah, of course. But Zola looks interesting, too.
Mm-hmm. But not Fast 9 interesting.
No, not Fast 9 interesting. I mean, you can't really get better than Fast 9 interesting, even with two strippers.
And Florida. Because Florida is where all the crazy shit happens.
Right.
And people apparently are. No offense, John.
I watched the trailer for Zola, and I can basically tell you that it's essentially Florida the movie.
Well, now I'm a little more interested than I was before. That's for
right,
sure.
Right.
Florida the movie. Ah. The one thing that bothers me is all the people telling me that, it's become the popular thing to hate, because Fast and Furious was, for a long time, that series where even your hater friends would get on board with, man, that's fun. That series is ridiculous, but it's fun. But I feel like it turned the corner because it's been so long since the last one, to where now it's cool. It's hip to hate it. You know what I mean? And that part's a little sad, because I'm never going to be ashamed of watching this movie. I will watch it. I don't care if they end up going to Mars. I don't care if they pilot a shuttle with Elon Musk in the back. I don't care. I will watch it, because these movies are always fun.
Elon Musk will be, I am the first guy with Asperger's to drive a car this fast and furious.
I have no idea if that was offensive, but I hope it was for your sake. So the emails will come directly to you.
That's fine. Bring it.
He was okay on Saturday Night Live. Did you see that episode? He wasn't awful. It wasn't great, but he wasn't awful.
I didn't see it. I heard people were giving him a hard time for saying that, because Dan Aykroyd is the first person on Saturday Night Live to have Asperger's.
I did not know that little fact.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Why?
Well, made some history.
He probably did. No, he didn't make any history. Dan Aykroyd made the history, apparently, if that's yep. true. Well, goodness gracious. Anyway, back to Fast 9. Looks wonderful. Although I did, what was a funny anecdote I just read? Michelle Rodriguez, because they're already, you know, getting out there and plugging that movie away. She said that, you know, in the first Fast and the Furious, I was very adamant that the character was going to be a little deeper than what was on the page, and da 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 da. I'm like, it was? I mean,
right? Like, what did you really expect?
Yeah, and I'm like, did you see the movie that you're talking about? Because I don't think you had that.
No shade to my girl or anything, but like, let's be real.
It's like, have you seen any movie you've ever been in or TV show? You're basically you all the time.
I was hoping you wouldn't do that. No.
You're literally the same character.
It's true, though.
It's like a Statham movie. I mean, you just know what you're going to get, which is fine.
Right.
I like it.
Beautiful, but, hot, badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But character depth and richness of character development, slow down a little bit.
That's not what we hire you for. We hire you for the same thing we hire Samuel L. Jackson for.
Be you.
Right.
I love when they ask Samuel L. Jackson what kind of actor he is, and he's just like, I'm just me. I just show up and read the lines. I love it. Okay, well, you know what? Before we move on, we've got something I got to mention. Because yours to own now on digital Blu-ray and DVD, Academy Award winner Jodie Foster, Tahar Rahim, Shailene Woodley, and Academy Award nominee Benedict Cumberbatch star, and The Mauritanian. The riveting and emotionally compelling true story of courage and survival against all odds. This movie's based on the New York Times bestseller. You can bring home the critically acclaimed film filled with all new exclusive bonus content, including an alternate opening, never-before-seen deleted scenes, and a whole lot more. You can own The Mauritanian now on digital, Blu-ray, and DVD. And I will tell you, we talked about this film a couple months ago. I don't remember when it was, but love it. It was a great movie. It's really harrowing. It's really hard to watch in many respects, mostly because it's a movie that makes you look inward in terms of our country and our policies and how we handle certain things. So it's a very intense film that you definitely don't want to miss. I mean, Jodie Foster never picks a loser. You know what I mean? She knows how to bring it every single time. And if you live in the U.S. and you want to win a physical copy of The Mauritanian, we are giving away 5 physical copies. If you live in the U.S., you have to live in the U.S. We can ship it to you. Just send an email to contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com with your name and the subject line, The Mauritanian. That's your name and the subject line, The Mauritanian, to contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. That's all you have to do to be entered to win. And seriously, it's a great movie, so you should definitely watch that. All right, moving back to our summer movie preview. July 9th, The Forever Purge. There are so many Purge movies. I thought The Purge ended in like the third one, but apparently we got more. So set after 2016's Purge election year, in which The Purge was officially abolished, this next chapter in the franchise follows a Mexican couple who becomes stranded on a ranch and besieged by strangers who just missed the good old days. Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, reprises her role as the Avengers super spy in this prequel film that takes place directly after the events of Captain America Civil War and finds Natasha grappling with her past as a double agent. Stars Scarlett Johansson, obviously. David Harbour, Florence Pugh, and man, that one's had a long, rough ride to get to theaters. And also Disney Premium Plus. So if you want to pay $30, you can stay at home. But you don't want to stay at home for that movie. All right.
No, you want to go to the theater to see this one. And I am excited to go see Black Widow. I'm a little over the Purge series, so I'm not going to do that one.
I like the Purge movies. I'm still going to see it. I like them. I'm a little more resistant to Black Widow, but just because I feel like it's unnecessary. Like, I haven't, the story itself doesn't draw me in, but the trailer looked cool. So I'm still going to see it, of course, and it's probably going to be incredibly popular because people miss their Marvel movies. But yeah, I just don't know that it was needed or necessary for a prequel.
I feel like if I was Scarlett Johansson, I'd be a little pissed that my movie doesn't come out until after I die in the whole thing.
Right? Like, I just don't understand it.
It's like, so I'm not going to factor in to all the other stuff that's going to happen unless maybe they can figure out a way for Captain America to, while he's doing through the time, he finds a way to bring her back because it doesn't really mess with the time thing that much. Now that everything's all solved, maybe you could do that. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think this is possibly a one and done, unless you're going to do like a three movies where they're all behind Endgame. That would be weird.
Well, this could be a handoff movie too. They would bring Florence as the new Black Widow kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, I get it. I don't know, if I was her, I'd be a little irritated, but it is what it is. The only thing I would say is, do you guys feel like, this is an honest question, do you feel like it detracts from the impact of her death in Endgame? Because that was one of the few deaths in all of the Marvel movies that felt real.
You mean because her character's not coming back? Or
because we're still getting a movie with her, even though she died.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Because like when she died, you anticipated to never see her again.
Yeah. Yep.
And then they came out and they're like, "Ah, just kidding. We're gonna do a prequel." Yes, that's where I am at. Where I'm like, this is just poorly timed, and I feel like they could have, if they would have planned this out better and anticipated doing separate stories for her and for all these other characters, it would have come out better. So I get your point.
I don't think so. I feel like this is a good way to give her the chance to shine in a movie that she has to carry versus her being a supporting character to somebody else and us never really seeing but hints of how much of a badass she is. Letting her have full-fledged badassery throughout an entire movie is something that she deserves at this point.
All right. Well, we'll find out soon. Coming out July 16th, Escape Room 2. Although we don't know exactly what the premise is yet, we know that Taylor Russell and Logan Miller will return to reprise their roles and continue the story from the Saw-inspired 2019 horror thriller of Escape Room. So that's happening. Roadrunner, a film about Anthony Bourdain. Oscar-winning documentarian Morgan Neville sets his sights on another beloved pop culture icon, Anthony Bourdain, in this profile of the late celebrity chef's incredible life. Space Jam, A New Legacy. A full 25 years after the original Space Jam, LeBron James puts a new spin on the story. This time, Bron is transported to a digital world, and he must team up with the Looney Tunes to defeat an evil AI's goon squad in hopes of, I don't know, saving the world or something like that. But again, game of basketball. It's going to decide the fate of the world. So of those three, like any of them really get your fancy going? John?
For me, Escape Room 2, I really liked the first one, which was something that I didn't think I was going to like, but I sat down and I watched it, and it was surprisingly fun and interesting. So I really want to see where the rest of the story goes for Escape Room 2.
I never saw Escape Room.
What? You love the Saw movies. It's kind of weird that you wouldn't, because they really is similar.
I think I kind of just like forgot about it because I was like, wait, there was a first one?
It happens if you saw the first one, you'd forget about it too.
Oh my. Okay. So it's not even worth my time.
No, it's great. Enjoyable. It's just not really memorable.
Mm. I appreciate that they're doing something for Anthony Bourdain because when he passed away, I remember seeing how many people were significantly impacted by what he did for them as a celebrity and an explorer. And his life did seem fulfilled in many ways. But of course, I imagine that they're going to go into the mental illness portion of it, too, because that was such a pivotal piece to his life. Space Jam, not Spice Jam. That would be a different movie.
I would much rather want to see that.
I actually saw the trailer.
Spice Girls with Looney Tunes? Are you kidding me? Oh my God,
I would 100% watch that.
That is the movie they should have made, and they missed a freaking opportunity.
So I rewatched Space Jam, which I love, like really loved as a kid. Really? And I rewatched it and I was like, man, this does not hold up as well as I imagined it in my child brain. And then I saw the trailer for it and I am here to say that it does look good. Like it looks entertaining. Mm. I do want to see it. And I think it's also funny that Justin Lin actually left this movie so he could direct F9 and Fast and the Furious 10 and 11. He's like, nah, my time can be spent better here.
Well, I mean, they got Malcolm D. Lee, who is a good director in his own right. So, I mean, it'll be solid, I'm sure.
The animation looks kids. Cool.
I will say LeBron James is no Michael Jordan, and I don't mean just in basketball. I mean in acting. He's not as good a presence, I don't think. But we'll see.
He didn't want it. Jordan didn't want it.
I'm sure. Because this is a new legacy. It's different.
Yeah. Well, he specifically chose or stated that he wanted LeBron to be the person to carry the second one.
I wonder how much that cost him. You got to wear my Air Jordans in that movie. All right, I'll do it. All right. And I want LeBron James to carry the mantle of the Space Jam franchise. Yeah, I can see that. All right, July 23rd, M. Night Shyamalan returns with a family on vacation who discover that a secluded beach where they're relaxing is mysteriously causing them to age rapidly and old. It seems pretty straightforward, but you know, he loves his twist, so you just never really know. My only concern is Rufus Sewell's in this, and
oof,
when he, yeah, right, you know what I'm saying, he shows up and it's like makes things bad. Snake Eyes is also coming out, and it is not a remake of the beloved Nick Cage movie. It's actually the spinoff of the G.I. Joe universe, and it's an origin story for the mutant ninja commando known as Snake Eyes, with Crazy Rich Asians breakout star Henry Golding in the title role. Hotel Transylvania, Transformania.
I love that title.
Oh my God. Adam Sandler won't be returning to voice Dracula, which is weird, but everyone else.
What?
Yeah, but everyone else is back in the final chapter of the series, which will see the focus shift more to Dracula's daughter, Mavis, Selena Gomez, and her human husband, Johnny Andy Samberg.
What? I'm invested, but I'm sad about Adam Sandler. Where did he go?
I'm sure he had a lot to do with his Netflix contract.
I actually think it's interesting that underneath that you have it saying it stars Adam Sandler.
I know. Snake Eyes, I'm interested in because Henry Golding. I like him. I think he is really just like a fun, entertaining presence on screen.
Really?
So I'll see that. Yeah, I like him a lot. I am really hesitant on M. Night, his new film. I mean, of course I've got to see them. I'm going to watch it. He's disappointed me in some really deep, traumatic ways in the past. So I just always come in with a little bit of hesitation.
Yeah, but he's back on an upswing.
Yeah, which means how long until the downswing happens?
Wow.
You never know when it's going to come.
Jesus. Wow, I'd hate to be an addict around you.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I'm 3 years going. Well, it's only a matter of time, I guess, huh? Yeah.
Before you're snorting coke off of somebody's ass.
Wow, that's very specific, John.
John's got his weekend mapped out.
Yeah. I gotta make it through somehow. I'm more excited about Old than I am at anything else this weekend. Snake Eyes and G.I. Joe talk about things that have let you down. G.I. Joe's let me down one too many times, and I will have to wait for some buzz before I make a decision on that. And Hotel Transylvania, the first two movies are very cute and they're a lot of fun. I don't know if I need Adam Sandler in it or not, but yeah, my pick is old.
I guess it's an unpopular opinion, but I don't think Henry Golding is that great of an actor. He's eye candy, delightful. Crazy Rich Asians, I just found him kind of boring. I liked Last Christmas, but not because of him. So I haven't really been that enraptured with his performances. And Snake Eyes is a really cool character, so I'm hoping he'll prove me wrong. And I'm just like, well, maybe I just missed it. You know, I mean, maybe it's because those movies had so much other stuff going on. Maybe that's why. If ever there's a character where he's got to deliver, it's Snake Eyes, because there's not a lot of dialogue, so it's all physicality. Which will probably make him better, because that's his delivery of his dialogue is usually where I get a little eh.
Right. You're going to play a mute. Oh, I get my Oscar with this one.
Yeah, G.I. Joe.
Ouch.
A G.I. Joe mute's going to get you that Oscar. Well, you know what? They're desperate for ratings. It could happen. Wouldn't that be fantastic? Like, and the winner is Scarlett Johansson for Black Widow. All right. On July 30th, The Green Knight, which the trailer recently just dropped this week, man, looks crazy creative. Writer-director David Lowry, who did The Old Man and the Gun, brings us a haunting vision of the 14th century poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight, with Dev Patel and a medieval fantasy adventure splashed with a touch of horror. Jungle Cruise, Disney unleashes its next theme park ride-inspired movie, starring Emily Blunt as a scientist who hires Dwayne the Rock Johnson's riverboat captain to take her down to the Amazon in search of the mythical Tree of Life. What? Stillwater, the trailer also came out this week. Matt Damon stars in director Tom McCarthy, that's from Spotlight, his thriller about an Oklahoma oil rig worker who travels to France to clear his daughter's name when she is in prison for a crime she says she didn't commit. It's basically Taken plus Amanda Knox with no ass kickery. That's what the movie looks like. Now, of those, that to me is a great freaking week for movies. Like, I'm going to see three movies that weekend.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can't agree more. That is a great week for movies. You got a little bit of everything. You got Stillwater to pull the heartstrings and give you a little bit of like a tension. You've got Green Knight that'll play with your fantasies. And then you got Jungle Cruise, which will probably just be a party on the screen.
I am most excited for The Green Knight. I have been excited for that movie. I can't wait to see that movie. I will see Jungle Cruise, but if there's one I have to watch, like the first night of the movie releases, it's going to be The Green Knight. And Stillwater sounds interesting. I always like those thrillers about, you know, more reality-based horrors, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I always feel sure. Like those are really interesting, but The Green Knight, just the casting and the story, and like you said, the trailer, like, it is 100% on my top list for the year.
You know, people often say they want original creative endeavors and they want to see something that isn't just another blockbuster, blah, 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 blah. Well, that movie looks like what you're looking for. It's an A24 film. David Lowry is a good director. You've got a great cast. You got Alicia Vikander. Joel Edgerton's in it. I mean, you got Dev Patel, all those people. And seriously, if you watch the trailer, it's just, there's so many cool elements to it. It's not just fantasy. It's not just any one thing. It looks like a lot is happening that is interesting. I hope it doesn't suck. Where Jungle Cruise looks like your run-of-the-mill blockbuster Disney. Look, I'm sure it'll be fun because of the cast, but it doesn't look like anything special. Stillwater looks interesting. I really like Tom McCarthy. I loved Spotlight, so I'm pretty interested to see what Matt Damon does. And he's got like a whole kind of, I don't know, Midwestern vibe going on.
So like regular blue collar?
Very, very blue collar. I mean, he's an oil rig worker from Oklahoma. Yeah. Yeah. Does not fit in France is what I'm saying.
Right.
All right. August 6th, James Gunn returns. Two movies to helm this soft reboot of the famously panned 2016 DC movie, The Suicide Squad, with folks like John Cena and Idris Elba joining the group of criminals who are sent to take out a Nazi-era prison in South America. And obviously, Margot Robbie returns. Viola Davis returns. Joel Kinnaman sadly returns. And it's worth noting that James Gunn has gone on the record several times as saying, don't get too attached to anybody. And that makes me wonder if somebody we already love might die. Just think about it.
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I prefer not to think about it. But I that most recent trailer for that movie, this movie that came out, got me so excited. And the way they're playing with the characters looks like it's going to be great. And I can't wait to see what James Gunn puts together in DC.
Yeah, it looks fun.
You know what I think is kind of annoying is they always point out, oh, this famously panned DC movie. Critics hated it. Cool. It made a fortune. It was one of the more popular DC movies. It's made, I mean, almost as much as Batman vs. Superman. It was a huge hit. And whether you critically didn't like it or you're one of the fans who didn't like it, many people enjoyed that movie. So they are fans of the original one. So I'm glad that they're not just ignoring the original movie because they think critics didn't like it or whatever. I mean, critics didn't like it. There's definitely some issues with it, but it was also fun in a lot of spots. So there's a lot of fun to be had there. And now I think you're in a better director's hands. This could be fantastic.
Yeah. Totally agree with that.
Can't wait. Just don't kill Margot Robbie, man, because I want to see more Harley Quinn. And she's probably my favorite character in the DCEU right now. And Birds of Prey was way better than I thought it was going to be. Or honestly, had any right to be. All right. August 13th, Free Guy finally comes out like a year and a half later. What if a non-player character, that's an NPC, kids, in a video game suddenly became self-aware? That's the idea behind Free Guy. It's an action comedy starring Ryan Reynolds as Guy, the NPC in question, who decides to take his destiny in his own hands. And Jodie Comer's also in this, which already guarantees my ticket because Killing Eve is awesome. Don't Breathe 2 also comes out August 13th. Stephen Lang reprises the role of the turf-defending blind man. The sequel is set in the years following the initial Deadly Home Invasion, where Norman Nordstrom, didn't even know he had a name, lives in quiet solace until his past sins catch up to him. And lastly, Respect. You know, I believe you say R-E-S-P-E-C-T, because this is Aretha Franklin's biopic, courtesy of Jennifer Hudson, who stars as the legendary singer in her youth alongside Forest Whitaker, Marlon Wayans, and Marc Maron. All right. That's, again, three films that all look really great in their own right.
Yeah, this looks like a really great weekend.
I am really excited for all of them, honestly. I mean, Free Guy has such an incredible concept. Like, it just sounds really fun. And when you put Ryan Reynolds and Jodie Comer in it, I just don't know how anybody can pass that up. Don't Breathe 2, I think I speak for all of us when I say that we were surprised, pleasantly surprised by the first one. And although I don't know that I thought about a second one, really, I'm still going to watch it because that first one was great. And Jennifer Hudson, just, I can't wait to see her portrayal.
Yeah, Don't Breathe 2 is one of these movies that surprises me because this kind of like how Amanda was very much like, I don't know if I need another Quiet Place 2. This is one where I'm like, I don't know if I need to find out more about Stephen Lang and how his past can catch up to him. But at the same time, I'm interested. You know, the first one was surprising and it was a lot of fun and kind of tense. And so I want to see if they can pull that off again.
Only thing that concerns me about that one is Fede Alvarez isn't directing it, and that direction was a major component to why it worked. But Stephen Lang also is the other major component, because that dude is, I think, 95 years old and jacked and still ready to kick everybody's ass. Like, he just looks built to beat the shit out of someone, which I kind of respect.
Right.
But Free Guy's the one. I mean, Free Guy just is that movie that I think we've all been looking forward to for a long time. I love Ryan Reynolds. Jodie Comer is just I want her to have a fantastic career. I mean, I'll definitely see Respect because Aretha Franklin is one of the best singers of all time. So I want to see that story.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like first come, first serve. It's got to be Free Guy for me.
Yeah.
All right. We're almost to the end of the summer. August 20th. Whew. Well, there's a trailer that came out today for a movie called The Protégé that wasn't even on the list. So I'm going to mention that one real quick. That pick follows Anna, as Maggie Q, and Rembrandt, who's Michael Keaton, two of the world's premier assassins who share a mysterious past from Vietnam. For years, they traverse the globe, competing for high-profile targets. And when Anna's mentor, Moody, Samuel L. Jackson, is murdered, she and Rembrandt must form an uneasy alliance and return to Vietnam to track down the killer. So, and it's from the producers of John Wick. Maggie Q is, she's a really cool action star. She was in, what, La Femme Nikita, the CW show, and she also was in Live Free or Die Hard. So she's an ass kicker. I can't wait to see
what
she
was in Designated Survivor and that Fantasy Mission Island Impossible movie.
Yep, she was.
And also, it just keeps going and going and going.
Also coming out, The Night House, which is a psychological thriller, follows a recent widow, Rebecca Hall, who now alone in the house he built for her, begins to uncover the dark secrets of his past, of her former husband's past. So I'm curious what that is. And of course, lastly, Paw Patrol, the movie. Ryder and the pups are called to Adventure City to stop Mayor Humdinger from returning the bustling metropolis into a state of chaos. Somebody made that pitch to an executive, and I wish I would have been there.
Paw Patrol is the movie for me, guys.
I knew it. I freaking
knew it. For real?
No, it's okay. Going to be Night House.
I'm just checking.
Did you actually say for real, like you thought he was being serious right there?
Look, man, Johnny is into some different stuff than we typically are. So you never know. It's.
Yeah, but I was being ironic voice.
That's true. That's true.
Okay. All right, then.
Paw Patrol is not the one for me. The Protégé does sound interesting. I mean, especially when you bring up the John Wick connection. I mean, that gets anybody interested.
Easy. That's the one thing that always bugs me about promotion. From the producers of da-da-da. That doesn't mean Jack.
I thought it was director.
No,
I'm sorry.
The producers of it. You know what? Sometimes movies have 47 producers. So when you see someone says, often, the producers of the Fast and Furious series, that could have been Jim from catering who got lucky that week and they gave him a deal. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's like a prolific producer. So don't always be fooled by that stuff. It's marketing.
Yeah. And The Night House does look and sound interesting. Rebecca Hall is incredibly talented. So hopefully that one is not a letdown, because some psychological thrillers just fall into the cliches and are very count by the numbers sort of thing. And so I really hope that is the psychological thriller that grabs me for the year, because I love those. Those are my favorite.
I want to do a group outing where we go see Paw Patrol. Like all three of us go see Paw Patrol or watch it live somehow, because I want to be there when they say Adventure City and then Mayor Humdinger. I want to be there together.
Is this going to be part of Bad Movie Night?
Humdinger.
Yeah, it might. It might be a part of our Patreon. Who knows?
Ryder, get over here. Mayor Humdinger wants to talk to you.
Wow, why are you being a Virginianist?
I was actually not trying to do that at all. I'm just really bad at accents.
Wow. I feel so offended. I feel so offended. All right. Well, lastly, this is the last weekend of that summer. Oh, thank God. Look at this. Movies every weekend I want to see. This is great. Candyman. This sequel to the 1992 horror classic takes place in the same neighborhood, now gentrified, where an artist explores the legend of Candyman and his work and unknowingly opens a door he may not be able to close. That sucks. And also, The Beatles, Get Back. Peter Jackson returns to documentary filmmaking with his portrait of the Fab Four and the making of the 1970 album Let It Be. Recut from the footage that Michael Lindsay Hogg captured for his film, also called Let It Be. Oh, Peter Jackson. That's interesting.
I'm interested in both of these. Candyman, I think, is, I don't know, I've just been impatiently waiting for it to finally come out. Tiana Paris, if that's how I say her name, I'm not totally sure. I don't want to give her Paris Hilton sort of connection with the last name saying. She is super, I don't know, man. My brain is all over the place. But she's super talented.
I think you overcorrected.
I think I did. And I just can't wait to see that movie. The Beatles, I love the Beatles, and Peter Jackson doing a documentary about the Beatles just sounds like a really great time, and I'm all on board for that.
Well, I can leave the Beatles behind me, no problem. I'm not worried about that one at all, but Candyman, I am super excited about. I love that this summer has so many great horrors coming out of it.
Well, horror movies, let's be careful, because, you know, after last summer, we don't... I don't want more horrors. I just want more horror movies. I don't want any more horrors in my life. I just want horror movies. That's funny. I Am I like the only person? Well, apparently I'm not, because John seems to be on board too. But can we just let the Beatles go now?
No.
Seriously, like great music. No. I think they're one of the best bands of all time.
No.
But I don't need more stuff. Like
we're
I'm
not
over
letting it.
It
be.
Mm-mm. Oh my God, that happened. That just mm-hmm. happened. Okay.
Well, I actually was wearing my Beatles shirt yesterday. I should have saved it for today.
I feel like people buy Beatles shirts and hats and stuff, and they don't really know the Beatles that much.
They're just doing it
well,
ironically
then
at this
just
point.
Sad.
What's your favorite
sad
Beatles
people.
Song? And you can't say Let It Be.
Oh, well, that one is my favorite song.
What's theirs. Your second favorite Beatles song?
They're all so great.
No, they are. I do listen to them a lot. I don't know. Come back to me.
I'm not going back. You already blew it. You proved my point. Thank
you. Yeah, you've totally screwed this, because I can sit there and go like, I love Neil Diamond, and I can at least name 5 Neil Diamond songs.
And we've given her too much time, and Google is her friend. So now we're going to wrap this all up. What are you most looking forward to of all of those summer films? Like, what are you really, now we've gone through all of them, and man, we went through all of them. I'm actually kind of impressed we went through all of them, but what are you most excited to see this summer?
I've got a lot. Spiral, Cruella, Army of the Dead, Fast 9, The Green Knight, The Suicide Squad, Free Guy, Candyman, In the Heights. I did see that in the theater already. Those are all ones that are like must see in the theater for me.
Okay, but if you had to pick one movie where you're like looking back at it going, that is the one. If I only got to see one movie this summer because I lose all my limbs and I can't leave the house because of a tragic accident, which one is it going to be?
In the Heights. I mean, I already saw it, so I already know how. I was already very, very excited for it, but it surpassed all of my expectations. I've been listening to the soundtrack nonstop.
I don't even like most musicals, and that was pretty great.
It's the way that he composes them, and it's not just like they're randomly breaking into song. They integrate the dialogue as part of it. Yeah, yeah. It's really just fascinating. And he has such a very distinct style of music that he uses. Obviously, he has a collaboration with hip-hop music, but he just, there's specific cues in the song where you're like, ah, this must be a Lin-Manuel Miranda. And the choreography was fantastic. It was just so fun, and it made me smile a lot.
Anthony Ramos is exceptionally charismatic.
Oh, my God.
I remember that from watching Hamilton, and always going, man, that guy is great. Like, that guy is great. He's got such a small role in that stage play, but stage musical, sorry, whatever the hell you call it. And then you see this, and it's like, this guy needs to be a star. Like, he is infectious charismatic, and his body moves with its own musicality. And I love that. I just love that.
Yeah. He is a beautiful actor.
Good pick.
And singer.
John, what's your most looking forward to?
For me, it's Suicide Squad. Out of everything in here, I can't wait for Suicide Squad. They're going to do some crazy stuff in that movie. They're pulling out things that I would have told you there's no way they're going to use these things in it. And they're absolutely going for it. So, yeah, it's Suicide Squad.
Okay, people. Well, I'm going to let you know that it's going to be generic, predictable, all Fast those 9. Things. It's Fast 9. It's Fast 9. And it's not just because I think this is going to be great cinematic achievement. No, it's dumb. It's stupid. All of it is stupid. And guess what, Michelle Rodriguez? You're going to be the same character you were in all the other ones, except the ones where you were dead. So I will say this. It's also the movie that I'm most looking forward to being in a theater, because I know all my friends will freaking go. And it's one where I know I can go with like 10 people and we're all going to be feeling the same way when we walk in, jazzed and jacked and excited, and the same way walking out, revving our cars, trying not to get a ticket, flying out of the parking lot. That's that movie. And that to me screams summer. And after a whole freaking year without that feeling, really, without that feeling for a whole year, because I don't give a what you think. Nothing on streaming has compared to the excitement of going to a movie with a bunch of your friends to see something like that. And that gets me pumped for summer movies. That movie, knowing that movie's coming out, gets me excited for summer movies.
Woo! But how do you really feel?
That's how I feel. Man. I got to hear one more time. We were so excited to see this one thing in the streaming channel. Oh, shut up. You and grandma watched the movie. That's cool. That doesn't compare. That doesn't compare to Fast 9. Are you kidding me? Ah, it's going to be so exciting. Suicide Squad will be pretty great, too. Sorry.
Are you okay?
I think I need a minute.
All right.
What else is there to talk about? Oh, yeah. What about any independent films or streaming originals we should keep an eye on? Anything that caught you guys' eye there?
One that fits in the timeline, which is June 25th on Hulu, you have False Positive. This is Ileana Glazer from Broad City has taken a page out of Jordan Peele's book, and she's actually trying to make her mark on creating a socially conscious horror that he kind of popularized with Get Out. It's directed by John Lee and centers around a couple undergoing fertility treatments at the hands of a sinisterly handsome doctor, Pierce Brosnan. After getting pregnant, they realize that the dream isn't the perfect as it seems, and it's produced by A24 producers and with Tribeca premiere, and this thing looks like it's going to be awesome. One that doesn't fit in the timeline, which is May 14th. I'm only bringing it up because Aaron hinted at the fact that he was going to bring it up, bring one up for May 14th, and I think I know which one that one is. But this one is Those Who Wish Me Dead. This stars Angelina Jolie. It's coming out on both HBO Max and in the theater. A teenage murder witness finds himself pursued by twin assassins in the Montana wilderness with a survival expert tasked to protect him. And Angelina Jolie is a survival expert, and there's a fire going on. It looks pretty great.
So not like that Howie Long movie.
Right.
Yeah, I look forward to that one. That looks pretty good. Amanda, what about you?
Well, I've got a few. I assume you're probably going to want to talk about The Woman in the Window, right?
Maybe.
Okay. I just want to make sure it's covered.
Let me do my best Robert Downey Jr. Maybe.
Okay, as long as you got it covered. Another one is Seance. Camille, a young woman who arrives at the Fairfield Academy following one of the students' untimely and violent death. That comes out on May 21st. And that one is, let's see here, coming soon. Then we have Coda, which is one that we actually talked about from the Sundance Film Festival.
Mm-hmm.
One we really wanted to see, but we just couldn't see it. It's coming August 13th to theaters and streaming on Apple TV+. As a Coda, child of deaf adults, Ruby is the only hearing person in her deaf family. When the family's fishing business is threatened, Ruby finds herself torn between pursuing her love of music and her fear of abandoning her parents. Heard amazing things about it, so I'm really looking forward to seeing that finally. And then Reminiscence comes out August 20th. A scientist discovers a way to relive your past and uses the technology to search for his long-lost love. That one has Hugh Jackman. I thought that might get you a little bit more ecstatic. And Rebecca Ferguson.
Nah. Oh, I'm in.
I'm in. Okay.
And right. Tandy Newton.
Her name just changed, and I don't want to get that
Isn't
wrong.
Isn't that how you still say it, though? I thought it was just the spelling that changed.
I hope so, because otherwise it's going to change every podcast.
It has
done,
a W, so it's Tandiwe. So I apologize if I misspoke it, but that's how you spell
Tandy.
It now.
I'm hoping it's Tandy. So I've got Good on Paper, which comes out June 23rd. If you've seen Isla Schlesinger's Comedy Club act, you know she's got like this great presence, and I find her very, very funny. She wrote a project and she stars in it. It's about a stand-up who thinks she's found a soulmate who's too good to be true and very well may not be very good for her at all. And it sounds really tailor-made for her. It's an indie non-rom-com is how she's describing it, but I'm a fan of hers. And if you don't know who Ilse Schlesinger is, if you saw, what was it, the Mark Wahlberg movie, Spencer for Hire or Spencer Confidential, she's the crazy girlfriend.
I read this story because she has posted it on her social media a few times over the years, and supposedly it's a true story, and it is nuts.
I can't wait. Coming out on Netflix, Fatherhood. I'm really excited for this. It comes out June 18th, and it's Kevin Hart. After his wife passes away shortly after childbirth, the widower must raise his baby daughter on his own. He doesn't know the first thing about being a dad, but he knows he'll love this little girl as much as humanly possible. And when the state threatens to separate them years later, he'll fight tooth and nail to keep the two of them together. And this is directed by Paul Weitz, who did About a Boy, which is a movie that I freaking love. If you've never seen that, that is a gem. Go find it. The trailer, I think, is a little bit of a surprise for people that are Kevin Hart fans because it's much more the dramatic Kevin Hart than the comedic Kevin Hart. It's really, he's playing a role. And it's, I mean, you know, it's a fatherhood movie. It'll get me. I'm a sucker.
It seems cute. It does.
And one of my most anticipated movies of the whole year is The Woman in the Window. It's been my most anticipated movie for about 4 years now, I think, because I just feel like they've been talking about it, supposed to come out last year. It's based on a book. I love the book. So now I'm finally going to be able to see the movie on Netflix, which actually comes out May 14th. So the week of this podcast, you might have already seen it by the time you hear this podcast. But a lonely agoraphobic, who's played by Amy Adams, bonds with her neighbor, Julianne Moore, from across the way. Then one night she looks out her window and sees her new friend arguing with her husband, who's played by Gary Oldman. Quicker than you can say, yes, I've seen Rear Window, our hero witnesses a murder. But when the cops show up, her neighbor is alive and a completely different woman. So the primary mystery is, what's going on? And also, is it in her head? Now, when you hear the description, you probably think, well, it's just another Rear Window. It's not. There's a lot more going on with this. If they stick to the book, I should always preface that. If they stick to the book, there's a lot more going on with the story than what it sounds like. And if you've got a cast that includes Gary Oldman and Amy Adams, I think there's going to be a lot to love. The only thing that concerns me is, you know, it was delayed, then they sold it to Netflix. But I also think it's a mid-range dramatic thriller. So they knew with the box office the way it was, this is the best way to make their money back. But it's a great story, so please check it out. What's one specific thing about this summer's films that stood out for you, Amanda?
Aside from the fact that theaters are obviously making their comeback, I think that's one of the biggest things. But I'm also noticing that the trend of straight to streaming, or, you know, those ignoring the window sort of thing, that's all a thing of 2020. That is not going to continue into this year. There may be some that go into streaming and for the premium services, but also into the theater. But there's been a huge, huge support for theater comeback. Even when we went to In the Heights, they had like a thing before the movie about their support for movie theaters. And I thought that that was beautiful. And we're seeing that with Fast 9 and all of these other movies that are coming out with specific messages to go back to your theater and see this movie safely and enjoy it. And I think that's just really beautiful that we have all of that support for movie theaters. So yeah, they're returning. They're back.
The only downside is we're all going to lose those safety seats all around us. So now we'll be sitting.
Oh, my God.
Not for a while. We'll still have it for a little while.
June. Most places are opening up full capacity in June.
Oh, really? Oh, man. I really liked having that. I was like, I don't have anybody in front of me, anybody behind me, anybody diagonal from me.
What about you, John? What's one specific thing about the summer's films?
Well, it kind of feels light on the action to some degree. There is some action here and there, but it's not like a constant stream of action movies being thrown at us, and that's what I noticed the most.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think a lot of the blockbusters had been pushed back, but they've really done pretty well with filling the slots with other stuff that is interesting. I mean, the thing that stands out the most to me, this is probably the summer with the least amount of sequels I can remember.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still a couple. There's still
a
few in there.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, so many of them moved, so they put other films in their place. So we've got a lot of original movies taking up the weekends, and there's not a single weekend where there wasn't something coming out that I wanted to see. I mean, you just heard all the titles. There's not a single one where there's not something I wanted to see, and I'm sure that goes for most of you listening.
I remember the last at least two summer movie previews where we were commenting about how every single weekend there was a sequel or a remake. Mm-hmm. And that is not the case. So that's actually really beautiful. Look at what the good thing that's come out of all the bad, right? Like that positivity.
I don't know if I'd go that route.
Good thing in all of the bad.
Sure.
It's a small good thing. We can take our wins when we very rarely see them.
And we're still getting some blockbusters. I mean, for people that really want the blockbusters. But see, I'm somebody, I love thrillers, I love horror movies. I want a mix when I go to a theater in the summer. And this feels like a mix. Like, there's a lot of everything you want to see. And you know what? Suicide Squad's going to be on HBO Max. Yeah, like they committed to doing that day and date through the year. I don't know how that's going to fare with the theaters if they start actually seeing old box office numbers, because I got a feeling you're going to get some pushback as they go, but they might just let it slide for this year. But even Warner Brothers said, we definitely will not be doing that for 2022. So, you know, to, I think it was your point, Amanda, I mean, they definitely want the theater dollars because there is more money there. Like, they make more money in the theater. If the movie's a hit, they make a lot more money in the theater than they would on streaming. That's really what it's all about, money. In case you didn't know. All right, so what's your overall verdict on this summer's releases? Great, good enough, or ugly enough to make you play sports outside instead, John?
I actually feel great about this summer. It's the first time in a while that I felt good about a summer, and I think that what it is that, like what you mentioned, there's a spread of a little bit of everything every single weekend, and it's enough to keep me interested and keep me from getting bored with one thing that's too much, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I'm keeping my A-list subscription. So that says something, right? Because sure. That means I'm going to dedicate at least seeing, you know, 3 movies a month, if not more, to make the most of my subscription. So I think it's great. I'm really excited for it. There's plenty of movies. A lot of them we mentioned having multiple, if not all of them, for the weekend that we were excited about. So that's, I don't know, that's awesome news to me.
Yeah, I think it's great. Also, because it's a summer movie preview, and I didn't have one last year, so yay!
Jack! So at least we have movies.
Seriously, if they made a butter-flavored vaccine, I would take that. You know what I'm saying? Like, just inject the butter in my veins. Like, I am so ready
that
for popcorn.
That sounds like a heart attack ready
I
to
am
happen.
I am ready. At my age, it's probably dangerous, but you know what? I'm going to live dangerous. I'm going to live a quarter mile at a time.
Well, I was going to say life 1/4 of a mile at a time.
Gotta do it. Gotta do it. All right. Prediction for the biggest hit and flop of the summer. So your biggest hit. What's your prediction, just Amanda, John, me, of your biggest hit?
My prediction for biggest hit is Fast 9.
Okay. John?
Biggest hit, Suicide Squad.
I'm going with Black Widow. So there you go.
Everybody, I thought about that too.
Too late. Mark your whatevers. Biggest flop. What's your bet for the biggest flop? Amanda?
I'm gonna have to go with, because that's gonna be based on how much money they've put into the film and the low return, right? So not just a movie that didn't have a lot in there. I think I'm gonna go with Jungle Cruise.
John?
I'm gonna go with Escape Room 2, just because, like you mentioned, the first one was kind of forgettable, though I think still say it's a great movie. I don't know if anyone's going to go for this because of like a name recognition or anything.
Okay. I'm going with Jungle Cruise as well. That was my pick too.
Mm.
I just think there's a lot of money in that one and yep. I don't think they're going to recoup it.
Whenever you get The Rock and Emily Blunt, that's some heavy prices you're putting out.
Yeah. Those two aren't free. Yeah. all right. So our list, a listener top 10 most anticipated. So we took a listener poll and this is our listeners top 10 most anticipated movies of the summer. Number 10, In the Heights. You're not going to be disappointed. Mm-mm. Number 9, Luca. Not the boy that lives upstairs. Number 8, Cruella. Number 7, Spiral. That's a little higher than I thought, honestly.
Yeah.
Number 6, Fast 9. What?
I expected that to be higher.
Maybe that should be my biggest flop. All right. So you never know. You never know.
That is a little scary, honestly.
Number 5, Army of the Dead. A lot of people are really jacked for that one. Number 4, Quiet Place 2. Number 3, Suicide Squad. Number 2, Free Guy. And number 1 is Black Widow.
See, this poll is the reason why I initially put Black Widow down as the biggest hit, because it significantly outbeat the others that I really just, from historical data, thought that Fast 9 would outshine all of them, but it doesn't seem to...
You already committed, so we're just going to move
on. I know,
I'm
just saying.
Yeah, it feels like you're trying to back out of the corner that you're in with Fast 9.
No, I'm sticking with Fast 9. I'm just saying this, I questioned, like, I can even send you my format. I put Black Widow first.
I feel like...
Because I really thought...
You could probably have typed that in by the time you got here. So, yeah, I mean that. I'm just saying... If there was a truck in the nearby vicinity, you would hear that beep, 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 beep.
You're so mean. No.
She's going to send it to you with like Black Widow with a line through it saying, oh, I didn't like, you know.
No, it was a forward. What is the little dash thing?
In crayon. Yep. In crayon.
I'm not three.
We got to move on already. Let's go. Let's go to High Road. That comes out on May 14th on Video On Demand. And that follows Simon Baker as Travis. And it takes place in 1919 and 1931 in Australia. And it's basically following a bunch of white settlers who go after some Aboriginal people and end up murdering the entire family except for two. And one of them is raised through a missionary settlement, as well as one is still in the wild, and basically puts together a posse that goes after the white settlers 12 years later. And then Simon Baker has to come back and try to bring one of them to justice in order to stave off a war, a full-blown war. So this is a very solid thriller. It's a very historically accurate thriller. I mean, it's kind of, it really makes you think. It really leaves you with wondering exactly what more you can learn about this entire period of time. And it's sad that this movie is still pretty relevant in terms of its themes, but it is, I mean, across the world. So it's called High Road, and Simon Baker is not the mentalist. I mean, he's really playing a grizzled sharpshooter, and the entire purpose of the title is to illustrate a sniper's position, which is if you control the high ground, you control the entirety of the conflict. And that's kind of how he approaches life. And as he begins to work with the young man that was raised by the missionary settlement, he kind of comes to understand and appreciate their plight a little bit more than he probably did some years earlier. So it's a really good film. It's an Australian film, so it's shot in the Australian outback. It is gorgeously shot. It's called High Ground. And man, I'm telling you, the cinematography is just delicious. I thought it was a really, really strong and kind of hard to watch film, but it's a good movie. And so if $10 full price permission, I give High Ground $7. You can find it on demand probably by the time you listen to this. And any other recent film or TV recommendations not previously discussed you guys want to mention?
Yeah, so North Hollywood is a film that comes out on May 14th to streaming. And this is another one of those that speaks to me because of the skateboarding and the coming-of-age tale. But it follows Michael, who is played by Ryder McLaughlin, and he's trying to figure out essentially what he wants to do with his life after he graduates. He's got these great group of friends, but they're not really trying to advance their life, and his goal is to become a pro skater. His dad really doesn't want it, played by Vince Vaughn, and he's trying to push his son into, you just gotta work, you gotta work. What your dreams have to be something that is, he has a very blue-collar mindset, and so let's not go out into the extremes of and thinking about what we could do. Let's think about what we can do right now. And so he's really struggling to find himself and figure out how he's going to pursue his dreams while also trying to manage these friendships and the changing course of that as he meets pro skaters and begins to skate with them. And finds a little bit of a love interest in Miranda Cosgrove's character. So it's a really, I would say, fun at times, but it's mostly just that feeling of connecting with these characters who are struggling to understand themselves. And there's a really great underlying context about male friendships that I don't think gets explored too often. So I really appreciated that in the movie.
Bro,
so I would,
bro. Bro. Bro.
No. Brostein. When sometimes you make other choices over your friendships and you're trying to evaluate what you want and what's a priority to you, sometimes that doesn't come across with full transparency and honesty, which can damage a relationship. And so when you're thinking about your dreams and your future, sometimes people get so invested in that they forget about the people around them. So it has a lot of context around that, and I thought that was really beautiful to touch on. And Vince Vaughn, he's great.
For me, Netflix has a true crime doc. It's only an hour and 30 minutes. It's called Why Did You Kill Me? And it's a very well done true crime doc for Netflix, and it's just an interesting story about this family who tried to help the police find out who killed one of the daughters in this family, and it's the way they recreate everything is very fun and interesting to watch, and the story is just so crazy that it will blow your mind.
I watched that on your recommendation, and it is crazy, but I also... So how they part of how they recreate it is recreating MySpace messages. And I had to laugh super hard because there was a lot of like emoji usage. And I'm like, emojis weren't a thing in MySpace like that.
Yes, it was.
And there's this girl who's like talking about her MySpace like website knowledge in terms of like, you know how we all used to set it up and we had our top eights, but you could HTML integrate things. And she's like, oh yeah, I knew all that. And I'm like, girl, you just learned HTML like the rest of us. But it was interesting. There were a lot of moments where I was like, ma'am, you are crazy. Mm-hmm. You are crazy about the mom. You are crazy.
Yeah. She is nuts.
She is pretty nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
I also saw Wrath of Man, which is Jason Statham's new movie. And I gotta say, I walked in. It's Guy Ritchie as well. Guy Ritchie wrote and directed it. I walked in, one of the writers. I walked in thinking I'd already seen the entire movie because the trailer for Wrath of Man looks very much like the whole damn movie. And actually, they did a pretty good job of not showing everything, because there was a enjoyable amount of surprise at a couple turns. A couple of them, yeah, that were in the trailer for sure, but also a couple things I'm like, oh, all right, I didn't see this angle. Like, there's an entire angle to the movie that they didn't give away in the trailer, which plays off in the second half and really gives the movie a little bit of a different flavor, I guess. So in terms of how you approach it. And Statham is literally the same guy he plays in every movie. He's the Michelle Rodriguez of Jason Statham movies. And he's...
What? That didn't even make sense. I love it, though.
He is just, you know, cool as hell, badass as hell, and ruthless as hell. And it's a fun movie, and it's very Guy Ritchie in that sense. Now, I do think Guy Ritchie's very hit or miss. I don't get a lot of the I gotta see Guy Ritchie day one kind of thing, because he's really had a lot of misses the last 5 to 10 years. Mm. Way more than hits. So, you know, I'm like, easy in the, you know, Guy Ritchie isn't, he shouldn't be as revered as he is, I think, in some respects. But anyway, the movie's pretty good. I'd give it probably $6.50 out of $10. It's definitely worth a watch. It's fun. It's something you should watch with some friends, because I think you can get into it. And some cool actors pop up that you don't think are even going to be in the movie, and then they show up. Josh Hartnett's in this thing, and he plays...
Stop telling me things!
He's literally in the cast, like, as they name the credits, he's there. It says Josh Hartnett. It's going to be kind of hard to miss that when it's in there. Yeah, that's definitely something you want to check out. People, that was our summer movie preview. You can find our Facebook group on Facebook. We're called The Hollywood Outsider. You got to look for it. It's a closed group, so you got to join. And we're on Twitter at BuyPopcorn. Our site is TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Remember that contest. Contest at TheHollywoodOutsider.com. You want to win a copy of The Mauritanian, which is a great movie. I'm not kidding. Subscribe via Spotify or whatever your preferred podcast app is. You can find John's artwork on Insta and everywhere else at RJohnDraws, Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and Smirk, me and my other podcast, The Blacklist Exposed, and Presenting Hitchcock. Guys, that's it. Thank you guys for being here.
It was fun. I'm glad we sat down and did this.
And now I'm just too excited and anticipating watching all of these movies, but I still have to wait months for some of them. So thanks for that.
I am so excited. I've been talking about for a year and a half. There are people listening that probably stopped listening to the show because they're sick of hearing about going to the theater. But now it is officially safe. And in all that time, guess what? Not one contact tracing showed that there was any proof that it was connected to a movie theater. So I'm just saying, a lot of movies you could have seen in a theater. But now you can, and you can feel a lot better about it. If you don't feel good about it, go get a vaccination. If you don't want a vaccination, just go to the movie theater. I don't care. Just go to the theater is all I'm asking. And remember, the next time you head to one, buy popcorn. Goddamn right. Go to the fucking movies.
Buy all the popcorn you can.
Don't smuggle it. Buy that shit. Just buy it.
They actually now let you use the butter dispensers again, which is life-changing.
They do, and you know what I do? I'm licking them all.
Ew! Aaron.
I am. I'm just like, ah. That's what you get for if you haven't been
to
the theater.
I know you well enough. You're too much of a germaphobe to like even do that. You don't even, don't you use napkins to touch it? You don't even touch it with your own finger.
I don't appreciate when you step on my jokes like this. Shame on you.